some of you since probably January or February. So the Chamber of Commerce decided to try to do an in-person event to see how it would go, and here we are. So so you all know me. I'm Denise Del Mastro, the Executive Director of the Chamber. And just before we start with the meeting, I just want to let you know that on Thursday we have a Zoom seminar. We're doing a Lunch and Learn Zoom. It's relaunching your business. So one of our directors, Kirk England, will be presenting, and he'll offer insight on client retention, your target market, and new opportunities. So if you're interested in that, just send me an email and I can make sure that you have the sign-in information. So, and without further ado, thank you, Mayor Bass and Karen, for coming and sharing the Connecticut Phase 3 sector rules for business recovery. So appreciate that you're here.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for coming today. Denise, thank you, the Chamber, for giving us a chance to talk a little bit about New Milford, where we are concerning COVID-19. And kind of where we're looking, where we're going to be going as of today. So currently, since October 8th, we've moved into phase 3, which Karen's going to talk a little bit more about the intricacies of phase 3, which is helpful in additional expansion of for dining, internal dining, also restaurants, retail as well. Some of the things we've done here in New Milford has done a little bit of different things, as you can see. Especially when you go to the downtown. We've taken Jersey barriers, put them along some of the parking areas to allow for additional expansion of opportunities for our restaurants. Also, Bank Street being closed on Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays to allow for more people to go down Bank Street, eat in some of the restaurants that are there, and just have a little more room. What we've done in New Milford also is made the parks here, except for Harry Brook and the State Park, which is a Lover's Leap. We made those for New Milford residents only. And the reason for that was to allow our residents to have places that they can go, they can socially distance properly, and have the ability to go out and get some exercise. As we all know, our seniors are one of our most vulnerable populations due to COVID-19. So one of the things that we've done is our senior center has remained closed for people to go into the senior center, unless we have some kind of a storm event or some kind of event that would be needed to open it up for shelter. Everything is outward facing with the senior center, so we provide meals to seniors or those in need. We do that directly to the house. We did do a flu shot program, but that was outside. One of the things that we've also done with the seniors too is on Tuesdays and Thursdays, Clatter Valley and Carlson's Grove from 8 to 12 is just for seniors only. And the reason for that is to allow seniors to cohort together without having fear of having a younger person be there. And it's all in efforts to keep our seniors protected. We also, I've been having bi-weekly calls with our senior, whether it be Butterbrook or Bel Air, our seniors at the Village Crest, and also a Candlewood Valley, all in talks with them to make sure they have PPE, make sure they have the right things that they need. So we're trying to make sure we're kind of micromanaging and targeting that specific section within our public. I'm trying to get them the most need because they're the most vulnerable. For those that know, school is operating right now in what they call a hybrid model, which is they have two sets of cohorts, A and B. The A's go Monday, Tuesday, B's go Thursday, Friday, Wednesday. Everyone is doing long distance remote learning, and so they can do deep cleaning on Wednesdays. We've been fortunate enough as far as the schools, as far as New Milford, we've been very consistent in our numbers. It's been a good point in time. Like last week, I believe we only went up one time in confirmed cases. Today we did go up a little bit, but it's usually anywhere from 1 to 4. There are other areas that I know Mike, if he was here, would be talking about that we're very concerned about and continue to look. And Danbury is one, considered a hot spot. And then up into the Torrington area, we're concerned about those two areas, as they seem to have been accelerating in their numbers. So we do a lot of contact tracing now, where we see where the confirmed numbers are, where they are germinating from, and as I said, our concern is mainly Fairfield County right now. And we'll just wait and kind of watch and see how that plays out. We continue to ask our residents here to do the proper thing, which is wear a mask when you're out, or not, you know, if you can't social distance 6 feet, you know. Also to wash your hands as many times as you can. Hand hygiene is very important, which is you put your hand under a sink with hot as water you can tolerate, 20 seconds, make sure you get under your nails up to your wrists. If you can't do that, you can get hand sanitizer, and just do those kind of things, and that helps mitigate the contact and the spread of the virus. Some of the other things that we're doing here in New Milford also, our water courses, we had a couple of drownings that were this year, early this year, and a couple last year. So one of the things that we did was some area within the river courses we blocked, not allowed access, for a couple of reasons. One, obviously, the health and safety of our residents, because if somebody were to drown or somebody was to get hurt, our first responders, who are volunteers, would have to go and assist with that. And that particular person that was drowning would be COVID positive. Could potentially wipe out half to all of our volunteer fire departments or emergency responders. So we tried to mitigate the risk by doing this. And also we had quite a few of non-New Milford residents who were coming in and leaving vast amounts of garbage after they came to our river course areas. And you know, our fear obviously was when our park and rec teams are picking up, our DPW team are picking up that extensive amounts of garbage. You know, that could be susceptible to COVID, so we wanted to limit and reduce all those risks, so we've been doing that. And we've been thankful, as I said before, where we've kind of bent the curve so far here in New Milford, so that's all good news. As far as the business community, again, we've been reaching out to our business community, talking with our restaurants, making sure, I know Karen and I have been on many Zoom calls, talking to them, letting them know about opportunities, that the town is here for them. You know, we can try to do whatever we can to help as we go through this pandemic. And right now, we want to make sure, especially coming into the wintertime, that we can assist our small businesses. I've been out also doing videos for our social media, different small businesses, as many as we can, kind of highlight our uniqueness here and our small business community, because we want to make sure that especially come this winter time, that they have patronage from either customers coming in, whether it be buying something or eating something in the establishment, or it's a restaurant at a curbside or delivery, or even you go and get a gift card. It's all about supporting our small business, because that's you know, the life and breath of New Milford. Some of the other things that we've also have been working on as well, as we've seen a real big uptick in our residential real estate here. And that is, we have a big segment of the population is moving from Lower Fairfield County, Westchester County, and Manhattan, and they're moving north. And quite a few are choosing New Milford for whether it be a lower tax rate here in New Milford than it is down in Westchester County. Westchester County, you're looking at property taxes over $25,000 a year, when more. Here in New Milford, you know, the average tax is about $5,000. So we're seeing $6,000. So we're seeing a lot of people coming into the area looking to purchase homes and looking to stay here. We also have a number of our residents that now are working from home as well. So they're looking to put in their office in their home. They're also looking to do renovations, whether it be a new deck, whether it be a new kitchen. So talking with our building department, we've done a lot of permits. They've been telling us the most it's been in a decade here in New Milford. So that's a good sign for New Milford, as they need to buy material, they need to buy goods, and when they're upgrading, they need a whole host of things, which helps our whole economy. So that's all good news, and also new homes being built as well. We have a number of new residential homes that are being built here in New Milford. as our building department says, they haven't been this busy in the new building in about a decade as well. So that all boasts good news. As you can see, some of the Route 7, we do have some businesses that are looking to open in New Milford, whether it be Chipotle's up here, Jersey Mike's. We just had the new Travel Plaza just opened up, that Sonic in there that's doing extremely well. We're putting in a 7-Eleven, I believe, and they're also going to be putting in the electric generation, what's the car called?
Tesla.
Tesla. It's about a $300,000, or is it $500,000 expansion on that property as well to host that. Also, if you go up Route 7, go past Big Y, going north towards Kent, you'll look to the right, and you'll see a new warehouse that's being built. And we have a lot of other businesses that are looking to either expand or move into the area well. So that all poses very well for New Milford moving forward. As a town, we've also looked at ways to capitalize on that with the town council's approval. We've created a tax abatement program to help those that want to expand in our town, the ability to bypass taxes for a number of years when it comes to the property, not on the actual business itself, nor the machinery or product that would be in there. So it's kind of a win-win for the town as we get expansion or we get new business coming in. And it's also good for them as they're doing their financing, their ability to either get a little bit more of a building if they want, or be rest assured that they don't have to come up with that particular cash flow, especially in the beginning years of their business. So it's all good news. Also, our police department, I'm happy to say today, in talking with the chief, is doing the statistics. We had a 22.6% reduction in crime from the crime rates of last year, which we had another reduction last year too. So it's kudos to our New Milford Police Department. Why did I bring that up? So obviously, everyone here in business knows that you need a secure place to do your business, to feel secure, and so do your customers. So it's great that our police department is doing a fantastic job. I can't thank Chief Cerruto enough for that. Also, with the taxpayers' approval, we continue on our road expansion program. This is the third year. We did about 27.4 miles this year of road, whether it be reclaimed, mill and pave, whether it be a fog seal or a chip seal. We're doing all these to really bring our roads back up to the level that they need to be. And that's also important for our business community, obviously, because customers that are either living in New Milford or coming into New Milford need good roads to get to their business. So we continue to work on that. We're going to be closing out this road program for this year, second week in November. Then our engineers will start working on for next year, which will be another year. We're also going to be doing the roof at Town Hall with a standing seam roof, 50-year lifespan on that. So I won't be here for the next one. And we're also we partnered with our Board of Education. We're going to be doing the high school roof spring, summer, I believe. I know Tammy's back there. Our grant writer would know a little more than me. But just great that our taxpayers, our town council, and our Board of Finance are all kind of in sync and making sure we do these investments for the long term. And that provides stability for our property values residentially as well, which is that's where most of our wealth is, in our homes. So if we can do these things, it just helps and benefits everybody. That's pretty much what I have, Denise.
Thank you, Mayor.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Karen, do you want to go or should we take questions for the mayor?
Go ahead. Okay. So, hello everyone. I'm Karen Pollard. I'm the Economic Development Director for New Milford. And this has been quite a challenging year for every business in town. And even, you know, we've had a lot of discussions about what makes it so challenging and what can we do. Here, I can take this off. what can we do to support the businesses that we have? Because this is, as the mayor said, that's what makes our community unique from other communities, is we have a large number of small businesses that are independently owned and operated by local people. And how can we focus on their needs and how to fulfill them. And each business is going to be different, each industry is going to be different. And really, in Connecticut, that's pretty much been the same approach that the governor has taken in some ways. He did ask for industry-specific guidance, which is different than what some of the other states have done. A lot of them went into a more geographic type of shutdown and then reopening, but ours is much more industry-specific, which is why when we talk about phase three in a minute, we're going to be talking about different industries and their different requirements depending on what the type of business is and how many people generally are involved in that. Just to let you know, the state has been having monthly DECD calls, Department of Economic and Community Development calls, on a monthly basis, where all the economic development folks in the state can get on the phone at the same time, ask questions, get clarification. This has been really important because there's a lot of information coming through, and we are also in turn spreading that information. If we get the wrong information and we start spreading that around, that just makes it more confusing for everybody. So they've also been very good about answering phone calls. While they may not be working in their office, they are being very responsive to getting us the information we need. Again, we may not always like the answer, but we at least are getting an answer. And then also within the town, as the mayor said, we do have a bi-monthly task force meeting, which helps us internally with our operations. And then weekly, since about August, I think, we've been having a Monday reopen New Milford meeting in the afternoon, where we're going through how we can work together on the regulatory items that may be in our way as we try to help businesses individually or as a group get reopened. And actually, we started it earlier than that because we started it for the outdoor dining, which was way back in June already, May and June. So we've been doing that for a long time, again, trying to work together to get answers to the questions that may be specific to a particular business or to address common concerns. And now a lot of those discussions are moving into kind of a longer term recovery or longer term adaptive picture. Is now that it looks like this is going to be the environment for a while and could be, you know, all the way to this time next year, depending on a lot of things that we don't have control over. So again, we're looking to bring support and answers to the table as much as we possibly can. So again, at the internal level, the mayor, I was glad that you brought up the opportunity for a business that's going to expand or do major improvements to their physical plant and make a big investment in either a new building or an expansion. We do have a property tax abatement that can be applied for that will help and assist with businesses that have the opportunity to expand. And just as we have businesses that have really had their whole customer base turned upside down and have had to find different ways to deliver their product or service, we also have businesses that have an opportunity to take advantage of maybe they are a pizza place that has the opportunity to produce a lot more to feed more people. But they need delivery service. Or there's so many adaptations that people are making, it's hard to even list them all. But again, my office and the mayor's office are resources for folks who want to change their business and adapt to maybe an opportunity to recapture or capture a new group of customers, make a new product that people are now finding in high demand. Or even working on folks that are interested in moving their business here because they see this as an opportunity location, because we do have a growing population, we have a very low vacancy rate in both commercial, industrial, and now residential property. And so that, again, provides opportunities for folks who are looking for those things to happen. Phase three started on October 8th. And that has brought some rather specific changes. Now, there's still a lot of rules that businesses have to follow, but a few of the key things that have changed now are restaurants can do up to 75% capacity indoors. They still have to have 6-foot spacing and or non-porous barriers. So you may have been in restaurants that have had plexiglass installed or other businesses that have had plexiglass installed to help people who have to be somewhat closer together able to still operate their business as normally as possible and provide their services as normally as possible. Personal services, so that's hair salons, nail salons, barbershops, they can also do 75% capacity indoors with 6-foot spacing and or non-porous barriers. Masks are still required, hand sanitizer is still required, other things are still required, and some select services are currently not allowed. So just make sure that you're checking with wherever you go or if you own one of those businesses that you're clear on what the rules are. Again, this comes from the state guidance. This is not something we're doing locally, and we're trying to understand the rules at the same time you're trying to understand the rules. So if it seems gray or not clear, make sure that you're calling my office. If it's a health department issue, you can call the health department office. We're all available to answer these questions. And if nobody can figure it out, we call the state, or we bring it up at one of our meetings. Outdoor event venues. This has come up a lot. So this would be amphitheaters, racetracks, Elephant's Trunk was mentioned earlier. That's an outdoor event venue, right? So that is allowed to be at 50% with social distancing and masks required. There are also other particular issues that, for example, no food tasting, right? And you can't, they don't want you walking around with food or drinks or things like that because that means your mask is down. So you have to reserve eating and drinking to certain places so that you are not moving around with no mask on. So that's kind of where that's coming from. This is new for phase three. So indoor performing arts and theaters have been mostly shut down. So those are now allowed to be open with 50% capacity with 6-foot spacing between parties. So groups of family members that are together. So again, this is something that we've been dealing with outdoor events for a while now. So now they're allowing the indoor venues to be able to open as long as they can somehow make the spacing work. And again, we're always willing to meet with somebody. The fire marshal's also been great about coming in and helping figure out what your capacity is, and then what would 50% be, and what would that look like if you were to map that out. Private social and recreational gatherings. So these are your weddings, your events, meetings, even like this one. So you're up to 50% capacity, capped at 100 people indoors. But again, you still have to have that 6-foot spacing, which is why the seats are arranged this way. So obviously this room could not have 100% capacity because there just isn't enough room to socially distance everyone. So even though you can have up to 100 people, it really depends on the venue, how many people will fit in it. So again, we're happy to come out and take a look. Outdoors, there is still a cap of 150 people. So if you plan an outdoor event of any kind, you're still limited to 150 people. Parties in homes are still limited to a maximum of 25 people. And that's been the case for a while. So that has not changed. Religious gatherings, again, there's a separate set of rules for those. So depending on what the business does and how they operate really depends on what the rules are for them. There is, of course, a complaint system that's in place at the state. All you have to do is dial 211 to place a complaint. However, if you have a complaint, we also have a local hotline number and an email address set up for complaints. And what will happen then is if it comes into our system, we log it and we investigate it. I don't know, the state usually just lets us know who's complained anyway, because they can't, they don't have the ability or the capacity to come investigate the complaints the way we do. So depending on the complaint, we would, and again, I wish Mike was here for this, because I know they've had to do a lot more of the investigation than I've had to worry about, because the most of the ones that come in have to do with the health regulations, not with other things. The other thing that just happened last week is that we've been doing a lot of planning for 2 months now on what's going to happen with outdoor dining when it gets cold. And a lot of northern cities in the United States have been having the same question. We were operating under the previous rules for allowing tents to have heaters inside of them. Unfortunately, last week, the state fire marshal has prohibited heaters from being inside of tents, unless you have a very specific type of system where the heater itself is outside the tent and then it pushes the warmed air into the tent, and then there's a method for getting it out again without if there was somebody with COVID in there, without kind of spreading it instead of containing it. The fire marshal let me know last week that he has notified the businesses who notified him that they had heaters in a tent, which was only three. But there are businesses with heaters outside, which is still allowed. So if you go to the Abbey and they have a heater out on their patio, that's totally allowed. Those are fine. The fire marshal is aware. There's no problem with that. But what they're finding or what they're concerned about is the fact that we really don't know a lot about COVID, and the heated air may be an issue. So we want to make sure that's why during the summer, all the tent sides had to be up so that the air could vent the area. So again, that was the ruling just last week. We only had three, so we notified those folks, but we are looking at doing outdoor dining as long as we possibly can. So we're hoping for a beautiful Indian summer and lovely fall, so that, because people have felt more comfortable going out to eat again outside. And even though the restaurants have the capacity to go up to 75% inside, not everybody feels comfortable doing that, and some people do still have underlying conditions that mean that they need to be more cautious. And so people are still ultimately responsible for their own health and making the call, should I go to this restaurant? Should I go to this meeting? Should I go to church? You know, do I feel comfortable in that environment, and am I gonna be okay? So really that's the quick review of kind of the phase three aspects. I would like to add that New Milford has done exceptionally well in supporting and maintaining the business community, and the businesses have been wonderful. When we have a crisis of some kind, it's pretty quick, and then we come out of it pretty quick. Obviously, this is not that. This is going to be difficult for a longer term. Some changes are going to be permanent, some are temporary. We don't really know which are which yet. And so that means that we've got a lot more changing and reacting, as well as being proactive to get our hands around what's been happening and what's going to happen in the future. With that, I guess we're ready for questions.
Any questions? Mary?
I have a couple. Do you happen to know the number to the complaint line, the local one?
Look it up.
Okay.
So, you know, can I just pop in real quick while she's looking that up? I just want to introduce you all to each other. I think most of you know each other. This is Mary Kimball. She's with Theater Works. Rich Balanaji with Rich's Wings and Things. That's Nick Del Mastro. He's with me. Laura Lewis, she's a volunteer and our photographer for the chamber. Patty Over, a director in All American Waste. Rich is also a director. Sorry, forgot that. Jen Birdseye is of Webster Bank and our president. Tammy Reardon works for the town of New Milford. She is our second vice president. And Ivan Schiffman with Edward Jones. That was pretty good. I didn't even look at my sheet. Did you notice that?
When you're known, you're
okay.
But I do have a couple other questions before I can get up. One of the things that the theater does is we have a community program that we do for seniors. And it's just supposed to be for seniors. Do you still think that's a good idea for us to offer that program? We're not opening up until, I think it's February, with our first show. We will be doing all that spacing, distancing, and lines on the floor, and masks.
If you were to do the spacing, my own personal plan, I think that'd be wonderful.
You think that doing that would still be okay?
You get the seniors an opportunity to go somewhere and be cohorted where there were similar seniors. I think that would be wonderful.
Okay. We just have to figure out how to restructure it, because it used to be first come, first serve. Everybody's waiting in line for like an hour, and we can't do that. But I just wanted, because I'm also the person who's heading the COVID policy, so I'm trying to get all the information I can. That was another question. As of right now, how I have the policies written, for our staff, for our actors, for our volunteers, when they come in, we have the list of the questions that are normally asked, and we also have the infrared thermometers. So we ask them, please ask, you know, look at these questions. If you're yes to anything, we'll have to ask you to go home, or if they have a temperature. For our patrons, we plan on taking their temperatures, but we weren't looking at asking those questions. Is that an acceptable thing, or should we try to get the questions in there as well?
That would be more of a question I would recommend talking to Mike Crespin, our health director.
Okay, health director.
I think he or Suzanne Von Holt can guide you in a better compliant way than I could.
Okay, in fact, I think I left him a message today about something else. And the other question that I have is lines on the floor. How you do the social is that still being implemented? Because I've been to
yes.
a couple of places, they don't have them. They've taken them away.
What kind of business is it?
I was at Cumberland Farms the other day. They had taken them all up.
And then they should actually.
They're
supposed to have those. Either they're red, either they're circles, saying
right.
6 feet or lines.
Yep.
So
they did. They had them, but this was like last week. They were gone.
I'll let Mr. Crespin know that.
Oh, okay.
They can contact them. I'm sure maybe it was someone that went and cleaned the floor for them.
I asked them, the lady behind the counter, I'm like, where's your lines? Because it's kind of hard
right,
to judge 6 feet in such a small space.
Yep.
And she goes, yeah, they took them away. I don't know why. Oh, okay. Well, you probably should have them.
Absolutely.
So I don't know if they replaced them or not, but I just wanted to check to make sure that wasn't something that changed I just wasn't aware of. I think that's all the questions that I have.
Ivan?
First thing I'd like to say is thank the mayor for continually being out front this entire pandemic we've been in, and there's not too many surrounding leadership that we can look at to say, not Pete working, you know, 15 hours a day, 7 days a week, every business location supportive. So as a business owner myself, thank you for all that work and your team. My question is, can you fill us in on, Governor Lamont made it some kind of a law or regulation, what do we call it, about having town votes and town meetings and what decisions could be made with the town. So I guess it's more surrounding like what kind of power, I'll call it, that do you have versus that can go to the town council versus are we back at a town meeting? You know, how is that all set
so
up?
So town meetings, his executive order, the way he had written it out was, is theoretically in one way you could have a town meeting, but in another way you can't. I know that sounds crazy, but that's just kind of how this order is. So for instance, if we were to have a town council meeting here, you have 9 members of council, plus you have a town attorney, have a finance director, you have a person videotaping, you can have 15 people here, right? They have to all have to be 6 feet apart. If you're going to have a town meeting or a public hearing, or just a regular town council member, you still have to have the availability for anybody within this town to come in to be at the meeting. So if this room right now could hold, I'm making it up, right, 30 people total. If that 31 person wanted to come in here, and we couldn't do it for social distancing, you'd have to cancel the meeting. So because of this, we really don't have a big enough place that could handle 100 people, 130 people, socially distanced properly. That's why we've gone to this model where you have Zoom meetings for now. We're looking to go to kind of a hybrid right now. We have Randy DeBell, our town attorney, looking at it, where we'd be able to properly social distance a segment of population, but also have it where people, as they do now in a Zoom meeting, can still interact. So we have kind of a hybrid model. The Board of Ed has been trying that out right now at the high school library. So we're going to be looking to maybe move for that within the next couple of meetings. But it's kind of just the way he set up his executive order, which kind of made this how we kind of have to kind of go through it, I guess. As far as kind of another part of your question, the governor, through his executive orders, has made to where, whether it be a selectman or a mayor, gives us the availability to do executive orders as well. We can do things that are less than he can, all the way up to what he can allow. We can't go anything above what the governor would do, but he did give us flexibility. So for instance, one of the things he just did, his last executive order, I think it's 7HH, please don't hold me to the alphabet, but what that does is right now you'll be able to go on a CT coronavirus, and what they've done now is they've segmented into red, yellow areas. So they're kind of now delegated as if you're in a hot area, as a mayor or first selectman, you're actually have the availability to actually go back to phase two. To phase one, you have the ability to change those phases if you feel that, you know, you're into a hot spot. I know Mayor Mark Bouton in Danbury has chosen so far not to go back, retrench into phase two. But currently, as we said in the very beginning, is New Milford, we're looking at their numbers, especially because they are having an escalation in numbers. So he today would have the availability to go back down to phase two if he so chose. I know he is like, we're on calls at least weekly with the governor's office. And I know a lot of mayors and first selectmen are trying to do whatever they can to keep businesses open. Because we know, especially coming in the wintertime, it's going to be very challenging for our business community. But we also want to make sure that we do the right thing and it's safe for our residents. So that's why, hence, we continue to ask the public, you know, as far as masks, hand hygiene. And I know the school itself had been looking to try and get back to a 5-day plan, but right now they're going to stay. I'm talking to Dr. Slotis, the interim superintendent, they're going to stay with their hybrid plan for now.
Thank you.
How would you find out about the Zoom meetings? I mean, is it on your website?
So you can go to www.milford.org, mm-hmm. and you can go on and you can either see there's a calendar and it'll have the boards or commissions that are having meetings that day, mm-hmm. or you can actually go to government, click, you can actually pull up the drop down, you can actually get the agenda, and on the agenda it'll actually have the Zoom, the availability to get the information for the Zoom meeting.
Great, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'll just go back to the complaints issue. So the complaint phone number for New Milford is 860-457-4230. And then there's an email, it's COVID-19-complaints@newmilford.org.
Thank you.
So I have a question. Throughout the past 7 to 8 months, there have been a lot of adjustments in the rules and regulations for our businesses, both small and large. And we've seen some changes that have been received very well by the public, as well as by the business owners and their ability to expand how they do business. Are there particular things that you feel you would like to pursue as permanent changes for some of those businesses?
You want to take the first one?
Sure. So one of the things we found very successful is that especially in the downtown area, is some of the businesses like Johann's that tried the outside dining has been so successful. Now they want to do it permanently, and because of the extra volume that they've gotten because of that, now they're looking, and they already have expanded the dinner menu, which has now allowed them to actually hire more people. So it's been very successful. Some of the other businesses as well have seen the outside dining as an additional revenue source for them. So they've been very pleased with that. Also, I don't know if it'd be so much as a guidance, but some of the other businesses, if we're just staying on restaurants, have kind of turned their proposition around, where delivery wasn't a big thing for them. Now it's turned into a major thing. So they've redeveloped their business plan, whether it be a menu change or just logistically how they set themselves up to be very efficient in their delivery model. So we've seen that it's been very successful. In the retail sector, just seeing people trying all sorts of different things where they didn't do it before. We were just at Dolly's that just reopened. For those that don't know, it's right on the end of Railroad Street parking lot, so with the caboose there, and talking with the owner there, you know, really working on gift baskets, working on ways they can do multiple sales versus one sale. And she does curbside delivery. She even goes out before she opens the store and does deliveries. The same with nutmeg, olive oil, same thing. Just looking at different ways to sell the product and then to deliver the product, which is a little different. And it's really going to benefit, I think, this year for our retail sector, because if you watch the news today, you'd see that already Amazon, DHL, UPS, all have said they're full. They're not taking new business deliveries now. So the things that you thought you might get in a day, you're not getting in a day. It's going to take multiple days. So that would be a good thing for all our unique businesses here to be able to offer, especially for those people like me, the last minute guy, you know, to be able to get that product right to you there. So I think that's a good opportunity for our unique businesses, the small businesses here. I think it's just, you know, they're really looking at things with fresh eyes. So I think that's a really good thing.
So I've also been having a lot of business discussions with both individual businesses and with groups about how to pivot your business, how to identify new customers, how to identify new products. But one of the big things, and this has been happening for a while, so this isn't new information, but what COVID has done is really accelerated a trend towards online shopping or multi-channel shopping. So whereas you might have previously done most of your shopping in the store or even just browsing, now your shopping habits have changed. All of our shopping habits have changed. So having an online presence for your business, even if it's a service, no matter what the reason is so essential. I've been helping a lot of small businesses also adapt their image and their presence online to be what people are looking for. So we were just talking about holidays. This year's holiday theme is really comfort in your home. How can you make your home more comfortable? How can you make your food more comfortable? How can you make your kids' education more comfortable? Whatever it is that you're doing, you're looking for comfort. And also it helps you deal with the stress and anxiety of a major worldwide pandemic. So you know, how can businesses respond to that? Those are opportunities that have been identified that again, we've had a lot of online Zoom calls and in-person discussions about that. But really, I've been helping folks get their business presence online. I know there's other opportunities to do that as well. But then going into fall, we're planning on a series of business bootcamp sessions online, small bites. It's not a half a day seminar of some kind. It's not, you know, how to rewrite your business plan in 8 weeks or less. It's small bites of information for helping you adapt with what's happening today. So that's going to, I'm working with the Small Business Development Center and with SCORE, and we're trying to put those those plans into place to start that, and then just keep running with that as long as we have to do that. Those trainings are usually free. The SBDC and SCORE have videotaped information on their website already. So there's really a lot of information out there, but then helping each business go through the process and then trying to adapt. And many folks have already done that. I mentioned a pizza place earlier that actually has closed their dining room and they only do delivery now. So there's no indoor dining at all. They don't have to worry about customers coming in. It's all delivery all the time. Or pickup, that's it. Yeah.
I have a question for both of you, actually. With regards to that and increasing online presence or even in-person presence where you need to have thermometers, you need to have scanners, there's a lot more technology being used. Earlier, Mary, you mentioned about a tax abatement for the building, but not necessarily for the equipment. Is that something New Milford's considering of maybe providing some sort of tax abatement for this year and or next year for businesses that have had to increase their technology?
For the equipment, that's something we could look into. Really haven't looked into that so much as really trying to drive the investment into New Milford, and that really seemed to be property tax. But that's something we can definitely take a look at and see.
The property that gets taxed would be things like vehicles,
yep.
Big machinery, refrigerator units, and we've had like the warehouse that was mentioned. They have a bunch of refrigeration equipment. So the state actually does already offer equipment tax purchase rebates, as well as other types of tax deferrals that be not necessarily from the town itself. But speaking of the personal protective equipment and the plexiglass and things like that, the Corporation for New Milford Economic Development this year has taken almost $17,000 and purchased plexiglass, and also was distributing the thermometers, the masks, whatever we could get our hands on to the small business community to make sure that they could reopen safely. If there are future requirements like that, I have no doubt that if we can raise the money to do it, we would do the same and more.
Any other questions? Anything, last words? Just for this meeting.
I thank everybody for giving us a little bit of your time. I know it's very, very valuable. And really the only way to make it successful is we all work together. The town is definitely working on, as I said before, helping our small business community. That's what each and every one of us does. Takes personal responsibility, whether it be hand hygiene, whether it be helping as I say, we have a virtual town hall meeting every Wednesday. 5:30, one of the things that I do ask is do small things. For instance, make within the week 10 phone calls to somebody you know, whether it be somebody, whether it be a parent, whether it be a child, just see how they're doing. Because that can make all the world not only a phone call for them, but if it's something that they need, they can get that assistance and that help. And if 10, you know, if we do the multiplier, if each one of us does that in town in Milford, we talk to just about everybody. And that's just a wonderful way to do it. On top of that, well, just helping our small business community. And that's, you know, patronizing their establishments, doing whatever you can to spread the good news of that business, especially if it's, you had a good experience there. I think we do these little things. I think it's going to be very helpful, especially as we go through the winter months. And then hopefully we get a vaccine in, you know, summertime. And, you know, hopefully you know, we look back on this, you know, in a rearview mirror this time next year. That's what we're hoping for. So, thank you.
All right, thank you. So thanks for coming, everybody.
Could I have one more thing?
Sure.
Okay, so in the next New Milford Living, which is the November issue, I actually did a welcome letter that talks about making a commitment to shop local this holiday and to pick a number, either a dollar number or a percentage number, and commit to spending that amount of your holiday purchases in New Milford. It makes such a huge difference. Of course, we will still do Small Business Saturday and all of the other business support events that we love to do. But I found when I actually put a number on it and said I'm going to spend 50% of my holiday dollars on New Milford purchased items, I stuck to that. So as much as it's, you know, we all want to do it, but make a point of doing it and make sure, again, like the mayor said, that you're telling people about the good experiences. If you are not currently getting my email blast on a regular basis, then I must not have you on my email blast list, unless you've been asked. I've only had two people ask to be taken off of it, so I don't really email that often. But if you have not on it, please make sure that you take a card and send me your email address, and I will get you back onto that list so that you can get those emails. I send out a lot of both local, state, and even federal information on a regular basis that businesses need to keep up on. There's usually a lot of links, and if there's any grant or new information for financial support, it comes that way. The website on the town page is a lot more difficult to change, but I do send that newsletter out, and I also put it on Facebook regularly. So, you know, if you're not getting it and you want to get it, please take a card and send me an email. And that's it. Now I'm done.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
And stay healthy and 6 feet apart.
That's right.